Yeah, I can hear you. I was done. I was done saying what I needed to say. I was like, okay.
It's a lot more quiet on Discord than it is in Zoom. And to those of you tuning in, we are starting the transition over here at G30. Welcome to a G30 podcast. I am Nelson with Mike and Timmy. What's up, guys?
What up? We chilling.
What's good, y'all? I'm back.
Timmy's back. Timmy, when you weren't here... when you weren't
bro,
here, Timmy,
I'm not
everything,
too sure if you
everything broke.
Yeah, I'm not too sure if you listen, bro. It was really a challenge. Like, we really had to bullshit for like 30 minutes and improvise. But hey, you know, we're back.
I don't even think we had to bullshit. I think it was more like everything
like
just didn't
punches.
Work. But I will say the ratings are down when Timmy's not here. So that Timmy, you should feel good about that.
Yeah, bro, you have a special.
Yeah, I guess it was a little bit of an ego booster.
There you go. we'll stroke your ego for you, don't worry.
There you go.
Nice cut today, Tim, by the way.
Nice cut, Tim. Tim all freshened up. Hey, guys. Well, we are beginning our transfer over to video. When we come back before Seattle, we should have that up and running. We have to figure out live or just pre-recorded or whatever, but the pod will drop audio format and video format, and it'll be dope. What do you think about that, Mike? How do you
feel
about it?
I think it'll be awesome, man. I mean, I love all these other podcasts that, you know, come out, and they all have a video component. So it feels nice to be in that crew of people being able to be like, oh, you are you because I can see your face, and you are Nelson, mm-hmm. and you are Timmy. So it's going to be nice to sort of go an extra level deeper with our audience because you guys are awesome. So
yeah, agreed. Yep. I'm super excited to put names to faces. I think, like you said last time, Mike, and just, you know, extend our reach into the community and delve deeper into the community. Timmy, how do you feel about the video option? Are you gonna get a fresh cut before every episode?
Probably, maybe. We'll see how the ratings go, man. This is gonna be
a
fun one. I already saw all the little details about it, and I'm really excited about it. I'm not gonna lie to you.
About this episode or what?
This episode and the live coming up.
Yeah,
also,
something
crazy is going to happen on the 19th, man. That's going to be awesome.
What's going down on the 19th?
Oh, it's the Seattle game and the tailgate.
Oh,
the tailgate. Yeah.
It's going to be the first full crowd at the Digs in over a year. So it's going to be a special day.
I know. I was just trying to lead you down the path, Timmy. You teased the people, and I was like, tell us, Tim. What's up?
I didn't know.
Well, yeah. Well, let's talk about that. Timmy and I met up at the game, which is nice. It's becoming a habit, a little halftime check-in. People are like, where's Mike? And, you know, we're like, we got to get Mike out there more.
My ass at home watching the game on Telemundo at home, bro.
But we got, let's just shout them out. We got to hang out with C-Sand. We got to hang out with our friend, our Chantros teammate as well, Cara Bezzi. We got to meet the awesome Mike Gray from the El Trafico website that has launched recently. Yep. Shout out to Mike for posting our sticker on Twitter, man. That was awesome.
That was awesome.
But it was nice. It was a meeting of the minds, and we started talking a little bit about a... tailgate for the 19th, our first time back, so maybe we can get a little G30 tailgate going. Keep your eyes open for that. I think show up early and hang out, or like Timmy said, it'll be the first time the stadium is full. It'll be like another home opener. It'll be rocking.
It's gonna get wild, dude. Like when we had went, like, and it's crazy because with the limited capacity, it's like we still created such an atmosphere. So like imagine with full capacity, like, it's gonna be ridiculous. It's gonna be so cool.
Yeah, I think it is going to be a massive turning point for the fan base, and it's going to be a celebration, and it's just going to be fucking dope, man. And it was good to see our friends out there. What's up, Mike? Have a thought?
Quick question to go right now. Do you think the boys are ready to play in a full capacity stadium? Do
you
think they
can
handle that many eyes on them?
Oh, that's a great question. They've been playing. They've been saying, you know, it's so good to play in front of fans. It makes the difference. Greg has alluded to the fact that that is that is the component. They're playing for the fans. Is the team ready for it? Does it change the dynamic? Fuck, I don't know. Like, what if we all show up and I don't even want to put that out there. Timmy, how do you think a full stadium is going to affect the team?
I think it's going to affect them in a really positive way because they haven't had the full capacity in over a year. So I think the momentum's going to be a lot different. The energy is going to be different. Because, I mean, we were already loud with, what, like 25% capacity the first game? Everyone came back?
Yeah. If you have not been to a game yet, believe that it is loud as hell in there. If you had your eyes closed, you might not even realize that the stadium is only a quarter capacity, which is crazy. You haven't been in a minute, stadium later. So he's here. We're waiting for Ryan. To show up.
We are referring to could tell that. I don't know. It was something different about that game. It just felt personal. It wasn't like the Levas game where it's like, you know, it feels personal. But this one, it felt like personal because the game was really physical. It was really competitive from both sides. They were trying really hard. I mean, we tried really hard. We could have had 3 goals in the first half, but San Jose would just not let us score, especially the Jonah goal that got robbed and the Cabral goal that didn't go in.
That Cabral goal would have been a banger. Hey, Mike, watching recaps and at home, did you get the sense that that Cali Clásico vibe was back, that physicality? That's what we're talking about. That's been missing for a few years, right? Because we've both been kind of terrible teams, but that's a hallmark, man. I felt like I was sitting, like, it had been a long time since I had been to a San Jose game, and everyone around me were all yelling pissed, right? And, like, they got every call. That's another thing, but did you pick up on that at home, Mike?
Yeah, I picked up on it. You know, it was pretty apparent. It was a very physical game throughout the entire 90 minutes being played, but also you had DM'd me earlier in the week being like, the energy going into this game is a little different. You have people like Mike McGee, Alan Gordon, and Jelle Van Damme's continued support. I love him, dude. He just backs the boys, like, till the death of him. But it was fantastic. I mean, it gave me a little taste of what I had missed, unfortunately, when I was coming up watching the G's.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now, if that's what we're bringing, that's sort of what we're looking, then...
Yeah, I think that personal point is hugely important to me. Like, when you're playing LAFC, there's a ton of energy in those games. There's hatred. But it hasn't been, when you win, it feels great. It feels massive. It's big. I don't mean to diminish it. The Trafico is the Trafico, right? But there's a little bit of quiet edge to this game where underneath everything that happens, it's like, man, fuck.
It was an undertone.
And like, right. There's the undertone.
Being like, fuck these people, you know?
Exactly.
So there's a little bit of kind of drama criticism in this game a little bit. A little bit of Cabral, a little bit of Granser. LA Galaxy loves to post highlights. We keep seeing Cabral dance around. He didn't miss, but he was denied that excellent opportunity. People starting to get a little impatient with Kevin. What do we think?
Really?
You haven't picked up on that?
No, well, I've been off the G's Twitter for a while, but I didn't really pick up on it. Because, I mean, it's only his second game, and I think, personally, that he's impressed, like, pretty well. Even though, you know, I don't know, I can't really explain it, but I think he's impressed really well. I think he's shown that I also told you, Count, that he's at the San Jose game, that he's pretty much a step ahead of every single player that's on there. I mean, just look at the movement off the ball, the movement on the ball. I mean, that kid is just...
Yeah.
And he's only 21, right?
Yeah, he's expecting the ball sooner. He wants to play a little faster, right? I think there's a little bit of disconnect. I think you bring up a good point, Tim. Sometimes we all get blinded by Galaxy Twitter. Like, if we just close our ears and watch the game and only judge by the game, I think it'd be pretty hard to criticize Kevin. But he's getting a little bit of the Granser treatment with the impatience. And I think it's because people want us to be so good. We're showing sparks that we have forgotten a little bit and gotten a little bit ahead of ourselves about the success of this team. Mike, thoughts on that?
I mean, I don't want to criticize anyone in their opinion and say my opinion right, your opinion is wrong, but hold your fucking horses. These are two very, very young kids and two very talented kids that, to be honest, shouldn't be playing for the LA Galaxy. That is all credit of Greg Vanney and his scouting and able to buy these kids in on a project here. And we need to realize that, hey, these kids are a step or two ahead of everyone on that field. So, hey, maybe we should expect more of our guys to get these guys better service because they're doing their job. Just because they can't keep up with Cabral and Grenzer, there's questions to ask of the guys that have been playing in this system or the guys that have been in the league and have gotten complacent with playing the ball a little slower. So, hey, maybe if we pick up the fucking pace, we see more goals from them.
Agreed. Exactly. I think Grenzer's a little bit different.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think Grenzer's a little bit different. He's 24, going on 25. He's a little bit more developed, I'd say. But he's shown what is true of most people who come from Europe, right? It takes a minute to adjust to the league. It took Robbie Keane a minute to adjust to the league. I will never forget, and I was talking about this to someone at the game the other day. We were talking about slow starts. And I remember sitting in behind someone who had a Robbie Keane face on a stick at a game, probably like the first month Robbie Keane was a player, right? He was a little fast all over the place. Same kind of thing. Wanted the ball faster. Wanted to pick up the pace of the game a little bit, you know? He took time to grow into the Robbie that we knew. He missed a few sitters. The dude is smacking Robbie face's cardboard cutout face, being like, you suck. And it's so ridiculous to think back on that right now, knowing the Robbie Keane that we know today. So I agree. Give these kids some time. It'll take a minute.
Cabral has shown he's better than... Oh, sorry. But yeah, Cabral has shown he's better than any of our forwards. I mean, there is Cheech player of the month in his own right. But pound for pound right now, Cabral has bags and bags of more technical ability than I would say arguably Cheech has ever had in his career. He's never been the player to be flair trait, you know? He's showing it more. Sure. So, hey, let this kid fucking work.
Yeah, let him work. No disrespect to Chicharito. Hey, happy birthday, Cheech. And player
happy
of the month, damn, the same week?
That's crazy.
But let's move on to the Grenzer goal. Everyone's, you know, not everyone. We are recording last, I think, of all the podcasts this week. A theme across all of them to one side or the other has been this, you know, Grenzer own goal. I was talking to Mike earlier today. I credit Grenzer for creating the chance. There are some people who are not all that impressed by Grenzer's ability to create that chance. They're like, I was an own goal. Who was he passing to? There was no one there. But I think that's the point, right? He put the ball into a dangerous area and converted one way or the other, and a goal is a goal. Timmy, what do you think? Criticism of the Cabral goal, or I'm sorry, of the Grenzer goal, or major props?
Honestly, I can't even say either or. I mean, it was a good place at the right time. I'm not going to criticize it, but I'm also not going to praise it because I guess I'm not going to say it was lucky, but like I guess it was a good look from Grenzer to understand where he had to be on the field. But I'm definitely not going to discredit it because, I mean, without that play that he made and he also got really big, we're also like that's really underrated on Grenzer's game that he's a very physical player and that he's very like, you know, underrated. I don't know the word, like his physicality is very underrated in his game. And the way that he dropped that player and was able to get into that position to make that play is also very underrated in this game. So I won't like praise it too much for it because it wasn't like, oh my God, wow. But it was also like, I'm not going to discredit him for it because it was also a really decent play.
For sure. Mike, what do you think? Props for Grenzer creating the chance or chalk it up to an own goal? What do you think?
He gets my credit that he manufactured that goal. He chose to be physical and he chose to do the dirty work that not a lot of people were doing that game. And ultimately, that's the difference. You know, we talk about these games where we get these scrappy results, but, you know, you look at all of these championship teams and they all have that grit to them where no matter what the situation may be, you get that result, no matter if it's manufacturing an own goal, which he fucking did. I don't know. I'm coming in with a lot of angst in this episode because I've seen some shit and you guys are
fire.
Giving the boys some trouble.
Fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Call the shots, man. Take the shots.
It's these games are what make champions. You know, you don't win every game convincingly, and you need someone like Grandisser to get in these clinical areas where you need to make something happen, and he got it done. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm chalking it up to a Grandisser goal. I know people think otherwise, but that is my take.
Agreed. Okay, moving on. Just some other highlights from the game. The refs were giving everything to San Jose, like every little thing. Dude. It was very frustrating. Jonah comes out really, really early. Timmy, what's going on with your boy?
Dude, I don't know what's going on. I thought he was 100% healthy. Also, he also got a really soft yellow card. I am going to bring that up. He got a yellow card for a shirt tug. But, like, the San Jose, the Smurfs were doing way more. Literally pulled Chicha down and didn't get a card, which was ridiculous. But I don't know what's going on with Jonah. I mean, luckily it's not too serious apparently to the staff that are working with him right now. But yeah, it's a little concerning. I hope this isn't like a constant thing like it was last season.
Originally, I thought that it was like, he pulled up a little. He's going to leave to Mexico right away. He did what we want him to do as the captain and stayed and was going to meet up with Mexico after this game. They ended up keeping him home. So in retrospect, I'm a little bit worried about, you know, this injury bug that's just on him. And if he's going to have an injury bug, it's a contract year. My guy needs to take a TAM deal. We need the DP spot. So, yeah, Mike, you had some thoughts as well. Jonah coming off, Grandisser being subbed in, that whole exchange that happened. What do you think? Do you think Grandisser accepts a off the bench role? Interestingly enough, especially if we do actually bring in a number 10-ish star player in the summer, as has been rumored, what do you think? Do you think Grandisser accepts that role?
I think Grandisser would be stupid to accept the role. I think as a team that is growing with depth and we have these revolving doors constantly on our fucking team, we have people that can play really anywhere, and that's sort of what I like about our team. I think Grandisser is not stupid to fight for a starting spot. I'm 24, I'm 25 years old. Why would I want to sit on the bench for the LA Galaxy? Why would I not want to be the front man? And it all ties back in to us having these complaints and us having these things where it's like, you gotta let these kids just really become one with the culture and become one with the league. And I feel like we are a little bit off that pace with Grandisser and Cabral fitting in a little better, but I don't see why you would take a bench spot. You sat on the bench for Monaco. Why would you want to sit on the bench for the Galaxy? You know, it doesn't make sense to me. And people that are after Grandisser's head, I'd ask you to politely relax. You know, he has buckets of technical ability as well. It's just very natural with these guys that come here overseas. It just takes that little extra second of patience, which I know we don't have, but I'm telling you guys, by the time this season is over, we'll be pleased with both of their returns, especially Grandisser. He will have a starting spot in the playoffs if we make it.
Agreed. Interesting thoughts, man. Another little side thing before we leave San Jose behind us. Timmy, did you? I don't know if people saw it on TV, but Vasquez came in and instantly there was an injection of technical ability, vision. Down in front of me in the corner in off to the side of San Jose's goal, they were playing tiki-taka, man. And I don't know if you saw that, where there was like little back heels, two or three in a row. And then they got out, and I believe they created a chance immediately after. Victor Vasquez. It's coming true, Tim. It's coming true what you had said.
Yep. The Victor Vasquez magic, yep. And also, who was also in that sequence count? Grandisser, right?
It was Grandisser. I think Araujo had pushed up. They were playing tiki-taka. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. Exactly. I couldn't believe it. So, and everyone around me got quiet. They were like, what the fuck? Like wow, I haven't seen that happened? Forever. It was super cool.
Yeah, exactly. But also, I wanted to point out that Grandisser was in that sequence, and he understood the play. Because I just wanted to put it out there. He's showing sparks, and I want the G's fans. I know Mikey already said this, but we need the G's fans to please be patient with Grant Sir, because he obviously understands the game and he understands what his job is, but it's he's still getting used to this system that we're putting him in. So just please, everyone, G30 fam, G fam, just please be patient. It's coming, I promise.
For sure. All right, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about what happened last night. Timmy, you couldn't join us, but unfortunately, working man over here. We were invited, thankfully, to be on the LA Galaxy Family Discord podcord with the likes of LA Soccer Hub, great show. Rudy represented straight from the stands. Everything LA Galaxy on Instagram, Total Galaxy on the Instagram. It was a great meeting. Galaxy Guy podcast as well, Chris. It was a great meeting of the minds, and they had a really great question that I wanted to bring to you guys, especially you, Timmy, because you weren't there. But there was some kind of question around what do we make of these first seven games. Some teams have played eight. We have a game in hand. But what do we make of these first seven games as a team? What are the pluses? What are the minuses? What is still left to be done? And what do you think the lineup looks like when we come back out of the break? Timmy's adjusting, it looks like. Mike, I'm going to come to you first.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd like to also take a moment to thank G-Man and the guys over there at the Galaxy Family Discord. Had a lot of technical issues and issues in my way, but for the second or two that I was there, thank you. And, you know, Kelm is always a great guy to talk to, so did fantastic. But what I want to touch on is that, granted, we have all these offensive weapons and we have a lot for us going forward, I feel like we need to catch fire consistently. I feel like on the day, and, you know, I'm sort of doubling back on my words a little bit, where it's, I said earlier, where we have these games that championship teams have where, you know, it doesn't matter who it is, like, we will find a goal. I just feel we need people to start playing in their set positions and to adapt to the style coming back from the international break. And I feel like we're going to have people ready to play. We're going to have all of our new signings in, and hopefully we can get a first glance at a full strength LA Galaxy team. What I make from these seven games, I think they've been great. I think we've overperformed. I think we've outperformed, and Vanny has done all he can with the given resources in the team, which honestly wasn't much heading into it. I'll be the first one to be in the Greg Vanny apologist group. I was shitting on him, and I'm like, I don't believe it. It's the same shit we've been fed time in and time again. But to see him act upon his word is great. And what I've assessed from these seven games is that we are able to keep up the momentum and the intensity. Because looking at these games last year, we can look back at our first seven last year. It's like the boys looked tired by the seventh game or the sixth game. So it's good that we have guys that are fit and guys that are ready to run for 90. And we need to do that for the back end of the season as well.
Yeah, we are. I think G-Man, shout out G-Man, Bloppy, all those guys. I think that they had done the math and we're about 20%, 25% quarter of the way through the season. There is a glaring issue. Derek Williams is gone. Any punishment has not been handed down yet. They are not feeling any urgency to do that because of the international break. So who knows? That being said, Sega is here. So I think we're going to see the Sega experiment. We're going to learn a lot. And my big ups is that they are finding ways to grind out wins. Dirty Bruce Arena wins. Like you said, Mike, championship teams, sometimes there's a shitter. How many shitters did Chelsea have? And, you know, they walked away with the Champions League trophy. Hey, shout out, Chelsea.
Oh, okay, dude, you do not need to get me started on that.
Yeah, we don't need to do that. But, I mean, you know, it's about growth. And I think we're seeing a lot of it. What needs to be done for me, I think, as well, is establish a little bit of that consistency. I would also like to see a little bit of a style show up. I don't think we have that yet. A lot of the podcasts have talked about that. We are still looking for a consistent style. Right now, we have the team who's playing with heart, the Ted Lasso team. It's like we win because we have heart, and that's what you need. I would like to see us build on that and build up a little bit more technical, tactical approach. And I think, I said it last night. They asked me if I thought we were a championship team. I don't think so yet, being realistically, but my heart, there's like a little spark in there. It's like, could we do it? I don't know. Yeah. Man.
To piggyback off what you're saying, Oh my god, I feel stupid because I was literally gonna say. You know what? Scrap it.
Move forward. We're moving forward.
Yeah, I was gonna say something and then it disappeared.
We're also having a little bit of Discord craziness happen now. Sorry for the podcast downloaders. Okay, let's talk about Robert Morales, man. 22-year-old. So today, there's a rumor breaking. Again, it is unclear if it is us or if it is LAFC. Everybody overseas, they always mix us up. So who knows? They are all also looking for a striker across town, so that could be a thing. But there's a very promising potential backup or split 50-50 time striker rumor coming out of Sentimiento Azulgrana, which is a source for the team Cerro Porteño out of Panama. There's a rumor that LA Galaxy is one of two teams interested in this guy, Robert Morales. The source has 43,000 followers on Twitter, so I assume that they kind of know what they're talking about. You never know, though. Agent stuff, right? But he's 22. In the current season, he has had 7 goals, 2 assists. He's attack-minded. He's young. He's a center forward. Could be dangerous with Cheech. What do you think, Mike? Oh, and of course, he is the money. He is worth about $440,000. Falls below the TAM threshold, I believe. Could be a steal. What you think?
I feel like we can't go wrong, and I want to have more of a conversation about the center forward role because I feel like that role in soccer or football today is a little bit misconstrued, where it's necessarily the center forward does not play as a false nine, but rather as someone that could do either or, as someone that could play off a striker like Cabral does, but Cabral takes a more wide option. But the center forward, essentially, the role is to just play behind someone like Cheech and almost as a center attacking midfielder. And you look at our team, and that's probably one of the most glaring blemishes we need to fix because we don't know Vasquez's longevity. That 10 role for us is sort of up in the air. I personally would love to see Cabral play it. I know that would never happen, but he is a modern-day center forward. And what I've seen from this kid in the highlights is that he's really good at facilitating the ball, and he's good at getting into spaces where you don't really think there's space. He's finicky, he's small, he can run, and I feel like...
Sounds like Chicharito.
Sounds like Chicharito a little bit. And I think it is a match made in heaven, really. If we could play him off Cheech or give him time to facilitate, he could grow into a potential number 10. Because if you look at his transfer profile, it's like, oh, center forward, striker. No, I mean, that guy, he hangs a little bit back. So I'd love for him to come play.
Yeah. I would also love, and I thought about this last night after the question again on the Discord. They had asked this about the formation. I would love to see Cabral, just as an experiment, if we can afford it, to see Cabral play up top, Cheech tucked in, and maybe Legette with Vasquez, because it's like the midfield's cluttered now. There's so many people. If you're going to play Legette out wide on one side, Granter on the other, and maybe Cabral and Cheech, but Cheech tucked in because he's not, like I said yesterday, he's not a big hold-up guy. Cabral could be. I don't know. I think we have options, and that is really, really attractive going into the international break with 5 wins, 2 losses, and a full stadium to come home to on June 19th against the Seattle Sounders.
That was awesome. That was great. Love
that. Was professional.
That was very professional.
We're getting there.
But I wanted to mention something again about Cabral. It's like he's proven to be so dangerous. Like the way he plays, it's if we can just get someone who can get him the ball quicker, and if we can get this kid, I feel like they can build a great connection right off the jump. And, you know, who knows how credible this is. You know, there probably has to be a little bit of credibility, but it seems like a great fit for us given our current situation. Because the 4-2-3-1 is very unforgiving for midfielders. It's either you play as a forward attacking-minded midfielder or you play in the two pivot spots. And like you said, that midfield is packed. So if we can sort of get guys to just sort of claim their spot and, you know, put their name on a position, we can get guys going soon, and this system can develop even quicker than we initially thought it would, you know, because I'm blown away. I'm taken away.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's good. We've been stalling a little bit for Timmy. He died on us a little bit technologically. he's gone. But I think it's about time to start wrapping up here. Shout out to LA Galaxy Family Discord for having us on the Podcord. It was awesome. Go check them out. Go join. It's an amazing community. It is a unique community. There are a lot of great communities out there, and LA Galaxy Family really offers, I think, kind of a mix of best of all worlds. And there's a ton of people from every community on there mixing around. Anyway, hey, Timmy, we had pronounced you dead already, Timmy, but you're back.
Dang. Yeah, I don't know. I was listening to you guys. I was listening to that great conversation you guys had. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm making little comments here and there, but apparently I wasn't here.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, you were frozen. I was gonna message in the Discord and be like, yo, are you here? But I thought you would just like...
Well, Timmy, yeah. Give us, you were listening along, give us some of those comments, give us your final thoughts, we're wrapping up.
Yeah, so that I wanted to say something about that Morales kid. He's very good. I can tell that he is an attack-minded individual, very, you know, to the point striker. He loves to score goals, I can already tell right away. But there is this one clip where it was a little bit of a bittersweet clip, because there was a former Galaxy player that he was playing against, aka Diego Polenta, and he ran straight past Diego Polenta, and it gave me a flashback to that LAFC game where we lost 5-3, and that was probably one of Polenta's worst games, and I was like, oh. But I like the kid, but he didn't have to remind me of that terrible time we had with
Diego already Polenta. He's already on a bad note with you.
Yeah, yeah, man. Because y'all know I love Polenta, and
thick boy.
Exactly. But I love this kid, and to have him as like a, even if it's not even Tam, and or if he's like a young DP somehow, which we still have three spots for.
He could actually, I think, what's his age? He's 22. He could be a young DP for two more years. Adds to the credibility of the rumor. So we'll keep an eye on that. G30, thank you for having patience with us. We are moving and growing. And Discord worked out kind of okay today. We'll keep playing with it. But next time we see you, you will have an opportunity to see us on video. We'll blast out the YouTubes and all of that. Thank you for helping us grow. Mike, you want to hit him with the socials?
Yeah, if you guys have listened this far into the G30 podcast, go ahead and check us out on our socials on Twitter and Instagram at the G30 podcast. That is the G30 podcast. And if you want to come check me out on my socials, you can come check me out on Twitter at CFC Michael. So yeah, I just want to thank you guys for the continued support, and you're actually going to be able to put some names to the face. So yeah, guys, let's fucking move forward.
Oh, Timmy, socials.
You can find me on my Twitter at SpicyTaco118. My IG is SpicyTaco18, and you can keep up with us and the G30 crew at G30 on Instagram and Twitter. YouTube soon.
And I am CountChalk786. We will see you face to face next time, prior to the Seattle game. Peace
out, y'all.
Later.